Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRothTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Belanger, writer and researcher for Ghost Adventures. I'm an author, the writer, host, and producer of New England Legends, the television series, and the podcast. And I just love all things spooky, and I love that Sophia Temporelli has made it 10 years, a decade of broadcasting on liveparanormal.com. Congratulations, that's an incredible accomplishment, and please stay spooky, Sophia.
Wow, awesome. Jeff Belanger, and I want to thank him for sending that audio bite in. It is. It's been 10 years. It's been a decade of the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And congratulations, Sophia, on those 10 years. Also, thank you, Rob Sarek, the site founder of liveparanormal.com, for providing this format each and every week. And to all of our moderators throughout the years, thank you guys so much for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed. Thank you guys for all of your help. And also, too, feel free to jump into liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. Make questions for our guests in all caps so that we can distinguish between the typical chatter in the chat room. And your calls are welcome, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. I'll also be posting all of our guests' links into the the chat room too as well. So hope everyone's keeping safe out there. Today we welcome Ghost Hunters and Ghost Mind Paranormal Investigator, the Dark Zone Network co-founder and certified hypnotherapist, Kristen Luman. She'll be on with the Ghost Host in just a moment here. So everyone follow along and you can play at home. Visit KristenLuman.com. That's KristenLuman.com. Also Twitter at Kristen_Luman, Instagram at KristenLuman1, and TheDarkZone.tv. Coming up too, we have as well OC Paracon founder Henry San Miguel will be on the program on the 28th of August. And so the California event, it's the first one in a long time that will actually be, you know, hopefully everybody can be in the place. You know, California is changing all the time. But it'll be October 1st and 2nd. And visit ocparacon.com for ticket info. That's ocparacon.com. And also, you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. We have other people securing their dates as well to be on this program. So like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page, just to learn of the guests as we learn of them ourselves. Also like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new paranormal investigative team member panel roundups on the weekends. A lot of great new broadcasters have been added here at Live Paranormal 2 as well. Also, check out the membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience here. So a lot of books by some of your favorite paranormal authors. He's great at just kind of getting that out to you for being a member here at Paranormal. Also, as well, support the vendors here on Live Paranormal. They keep the lights on here on the network as well. Tonight, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here, Ship Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits. Ship Coffee is right here monthly Mondays. And also Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more right here on this very network. Also, archive shows, if you miss anything, need to fast forward, get bumped out of the feed and need to get back in. Archive shows, they're available soon after the airing of today's show on the homepage of liveparanormal.com and under the thumbnail. Let me bring in our host here. I'm trying to unmute. Let's see. There we go. Okay, Sophia, congratulations. 10 years on air. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 10 years.
I know, 10 years, and you've helped a lot of people throughout the years on this broadcast, and Mom and Dad, we couldn't be prouder parents of you. It's been it seems like yesterday I was sitting next to you. You had Alexandra Halzer on, and that was your first guest, and it's just like if you build it, they will come. I mean, right after that, you had the booth, Christopher St. Booth, and everybody just started booking themselves, so congratulations on that, Sophia.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been amazing talking to so many amazing investigators and from all aspects of the field, just throughout the 10 years.
Yeah, well, you got all these things amassed over the years. You got all these things out there. You got the Twitter, you got all this Instagram stuff, all these different places. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with 1L and Instagram just at Sophia Temporelli.
Yeah, we cursed you with a long name, so, just drop one of the L's, basically. So Sophia Temporelli, just drop one of the L's, and you'll be able to find her on any social media things. You also got some great YouTube videos and some of your interviews, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's on YouTube, the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli. If you look that up, you'll find the channel, and, be kind of sitting in a chair interviewing people, so.
Okay, we'll be calling your guests. So tell us about your guests today.
Today we welcome Ghost Hunters and Ghost Mind Paranormal Investigator, the Dark Zone Network co-founder and certified hypnotherapist, Kristen Luman. Everyone visit KristenLuman.com, Twitter at Kristen_Luman, Instagram at KristenLuman1, TheDarkZone.tv, and let's welcome her into the show.
Okay, let's see here. Let me try the old dialing music here.
No, please don't do that. Oh, gosh, no. Not necessary. It's really not.
Well, that's the dialing music.
This is why I beat you and beat Shazam, because this is your repertoire of music.
Well, then you know what that song is.
I heard it in Paul Blart, I think.
Oh, yeah, Frankenstein. Oh, that's
what I'm pretty sure that's where you heard it, too, just based on this whole interaction.
Okay, we're trying Kristen Lumen as we speak.
Yeah, you love really just sneaking up on people, you know? Just your hobby. That's why I do it to you, just to get back for all this.
You usually hear like a ringing sound. Let's see here.
She probably just blocked your number. I would.
Do what?
She probably just blocked your number. I would.
Oh,
okay.
Right. Oh, there we go. That sounds like it's doing something.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 503314.
Wait, how do I stop this thing? I did that to, who did I do that to? I did that to
Katrina Weidman, and it strikes fear in my heart every time you do it. Honestly,
oh,
it really does.
I think I did it to her, too.
Sure
enough, it just starts rattling.
Every time. I just knew this would. I felt it deep in my soul that you were somehow going to.
Well, it's doing that thing when we usually have a lot of people. It's doing that thing where usually when we have a lot of people tune in, where there's a big delay, and then when you try doing that, then it's you get a delay going, and then it just starts regurgitating a number real fast, and it's like no.
Maybe just send her a text message.
Well, I tried that once. I think it's a landline. That's why. It doesn't say delivered or anything. It just, like, goes to a – yeah, it doesn't say delivered. It just, like, does a thing, which usually indicates, yeah, it's a landline or something.
Or just
yeah,
you
send
try
a reminder a couple
make
days.
My soul leave my body again. That I think, is your goal to do that, because oh, my God. You scare me. You really scare me.
Yeah, it's that cringeworthy thing where I, you know, that just starts reading off somebody's home number. Katrina's got pretty much all the way through to the last number, and it was like.
No, it didn't, thankfully, but you scared me very bad.
Well, no, in the host queue, I started hitting the closeout button. I'm like, you know, hitting it, and then you see a little loading sign going and stuff, just like now, where it's just like, okay, it's starting to read off a phone number, and I'm hitting the thing, and it's just like, I wasn't doing it. But,
yeah,
congratulations, Sophia. 10 years of broadcasting on this network, and it's like I tell people, it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's a rare, unique thing that, like, you know, you're 22 years old now, you started when you're 12, and it's a place that, like, every Saturday since you were 12, like, I know where you are. You watch those commercials where it's like, you know, it's 7 o'clock, you know, where your kid is. And it's like, yeah, she's at the other end of the couch, you know, or like now I get to say, yeah, she's on air every Saturday with dad over here. So,
you know, I'm a gamer, so it's just, I think even my friends are concerned at this point. My one friend is like, you leave your Xbox on all the time. I'm like, I'm on my Xbox all the time. So I kind of lied about that. I do leave it on and go eat.
You know, you forgot to log off. It's like, no, she's still on there from like 3 days ago. So.
No, to be fair, I kind of do leave it on a lot.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like, you know, some war going on, a war zone or something. I walk down the hallway and, well, now you got
that's
the ear
actually
things
the
in
game
stuff.
Name, to be honest.
The what?
It's actually one of the game names, Call of Duty Warzone.
Yeah, you walk by the hallway sometimes. It's just like explosions going on. Didn't you have a friend over that got scared and everything in the shower? And?
Oh, yeah, that was Amy Goodwin's daughter's friend. We were watching a YouTube video, she heard, this is how I'm going out. She felt like the world was ending, so that's pretty great.
She's sliding down the walls of the shower, like curling up in a in a ball
well,
or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I didn't know about that. But you are an author, so, you know, you just kind of throw that one in there. See, the thing is, I am practicing. I'm really not that great at gaming, and so I've been getting better at zombies, which is my favorite game mode, because I don't want to die so much. It's just a fact.
Well, you came in, there were like 200 people in some video game or something that you were doing, and you like came in like second place or something because you like hid in a closet or something while everybody else is running around trying to get the...
No, that was Fortnite. My friends were like, let's run towards the gunfire, and I'm thinking, let's not. So I ran away, and I got our team to second place
Yeah, everybody was playing it like a game, and they're running around, they're getting killed and stuff, and you were, like, hiding under a bed or something while the creature was going wild or something. And
I would survive.
So you rank really high.
This is why I would survive in a horror movie. Patented method for Friday the 13th. And it's just how I feel.
Oh, it was Jason running around. That's what it was. And then, yeah, while everybody's running around getting slaughtered and stuff, you're hiding.
No, it's a different game. Different game.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm trying the number again. Yeah, it's not going through here. Let's see. But, yeah, it's been a reminder a couple
out
days.
Last time.
Yeah, you know, maybe other people are trying it right now, too, like while we're talking.
Oh, God.
Because I gave a number out. Because it started reading off her own phone number.
This is why you're related. So it's like if you weren't, no.
Well, this has happened like a couple times in the last, you know, decade that you've been on air here, is where, like, you know, we've tried to reach somebody and like, well, that's the other thing is what she called in last month, you know, with Rick McCallum was on and Misha Walden from the LA Police Museum, and they were hosting that event. So then she called in, but she had to kind of push back one of her clients because she's a hypnotherapist. And so, yeah, she pushed back one of the clients just to be able to call in during the last, you know, 15 minutes of the show and stuff. So she might have had a scheduling conflict. Yeah, I'm checking out everything right now. I don't see anything coming in. But
it's totally understandable.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
Yeah, it does. And the good news is I'm pretty sure she is, you know, helping a lot of people with hypnotherapy. We saw it. Not her, but a different hypnotherapist on 90 Day Fiancé, and that seemed to help one of the cast.
Oh, yeah, maybe
so,
she does
that
regression stuff where, like, you know, people, I was in the Civil War, and then they stand up and start pointing, like, invisible muskets around the room and stuff, and maybe she sees, like, really cool stuff like that. That's possible,
someone if they did that.
Yeah, people are diving behind the couch. You know, because a mortar just went off or something. She gets to see all that stuff in her office.
I already deal with that with you because you play with the dogs, like, constantly and then say, the dog did it. And it's like, no, the dog didn't.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't have PTSD from those video games you play in there. All those shells going off.
Yeah, it's the ghost that lived in my house.
Let's see. I don't have an email. Let's see here. She didn't try me over there on the Facebook thingy. And, you know, anything here on the, yeah, and again, I think it's a landline. So, yeah, it's possible she got held up with a client. I looked at, you know, the email, what I sent her. I had the times right and everything for East Coast and West Coast. So, yeah.
Well, actually, one of my gaming friends has a cold right now. So, technically, there's something going around, and hopefully she's okay and not sick or anything.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be good. And kind of laryngitis or anything like that.
Oh, God, laryngitis is the worst.
Yeah, you had that once doing the show here.
I don't even know where you get it from. Like, I saw it on Walk the Line, and I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. You lose your voice. No, it's not funny. It's very painful. Recommendation, don't ever get it. I don't even know where you catch that from.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, nobody's catching anything anymore. Everybody's wearing the mask and stuff, and they said the flu's been eradicated and some of these other things, so, yeah.
But, yeah,
hopefully,
sure, like,
she's okay, everything's,
cause I couldn't bother
yeah,
you.
Hopefully, yeah, hopefully everything's good and she's okay. And yeah, and it's possible there is like a scheduling conflict with a client and everything. So, you know, I know that's her bread and butter. And that was one of your questions you had for her, was like, how do you balance family life and when, you know, the heavy filming schedule. They did that episode too, where they're in like the remote parts of Alaska and a blizzard and all kinds of stuff, and then
yeah,
you get back to your client list and start doing that again. And yeah,
I couldn't imagine that. As much as I love ghost hunting, we had another ghost hunters cast member on, Brandon Alvis, and he was talking about that boat ride. A bunch of the cast and crew were getting like seasick because they were on a boat in like the middle of the Alaskan Sea for like hours, and I just
yowza.
No.
Well, let's see here. We got a call from a differing area code, so let me take this call here and see if this is possibly Kristen on assignment on location. Hi, 323 number. Hi, what's your name?
This is John Huckert.
John, hey, what's going on? The ghost writer, the Peter James famed case in the Glendale house with the ghost Polaroids. Oh, my God, from Sightings and Unexplained Mysteries. How you doing?
Good. I was listening to your show, and then I thought, oh, she probably got caught up with something. And I thought, well, I'll give a call and see how you guys are doing. So.
Wow. Awesome.
Hey.
John.
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, somebody was telling me the other day, because of, you know, all the stuff going on, and they're getting ready, there's some shows coming up that we're on and stuff, and they were saying that we were the original ghost paranormal investigators from all the investigation we did on our own house. So I thought, well, that's sort of what your show is, so
you
as a paranormal investigator.
Yeah, because
yeah,
on that
amazing.
Case was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
amazing
to have you
that.
Call in.
Well, it's like it's an hour show, and when we guys, all of us, get talking, we always go on and on and on. So maybe, you know, we might have some interesting stuff to talk about, and then maybe she'll call in at some point. You know.
Well.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
For the audience members who are, you know, just tuning in or, you know, don't know much about, you know, what happened to you in your haunted house, could you tell everyone a little bit about your case with the ghostwriter and just what that was like for you going through all of that?
Well, the interesting thing is we're still going through it, but in a whole different way. We live in a house in California, and back in the early 90s, we started getting, apparently since the mid-80s, there's been stuff going on in this house. But I moved in there, I think it was 1990 or 89, 90, somewhere around there. And it was just so active. I mean, you always, you hear footsteps on the ceiling and just this sense of there's
mm-hmm.
always something there, and things around the corner, you'll be talking to somebody and turn around and no one's there, that kind of thing. You start getting touches, like something would touch your shoulder, and then it would like hug you, and then it would like let you know that they're here. And then I guess it was March of 1992, we started taking pictures with a Polaroid camera. And that's when we got the first visuals.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of, as Peter James would call it, bursts of spectral energy. So that was pretty cool. And then finally around June of 92, we decided to share it with our friends, because it was just John and I. And we'd gotten maybe several dozen pictures at that point. So we had some friends over, and basically we were showing them the pictures and everything, and then somebody said, is it here now? And then someone said, like, well, let's see, and they grabbed the camera. They actually took a picture of me, and
mm-hmm.
Standing there, I think I had a drink in my hand or something. The lady across the street's in the picture, and you can see Mikowski in the picture. And the usual ectoplasmic, you know, forms came up. But then, I mean, I don't know how long we were sitting there before we noticed it. It looked like it said something. And then as we really studied it, it said the word yes. And it's like, yes? What did we ask it? Somebody said, well, we asked it, is it here now? And it said yes. And that's when everything wow. changed. And we started getting responses, you know, what's your name? Right, you know, are you a good ghost or a bad ghost? And it would say friend. And, you know, now we have, like, I think over 10,000 pictures or something. There's so many.
It's kind of,
you know, in the early days, we used to always, like when that started, we right away started writing down, like, the time of day, the date, the day, the question. And then before every, you know, like as soon as you take the picture, you write it down in the back. But then after, God, maybe 100 of them or a couple hundred of them, you just get so tired of doing it because you don't always get a response. Sometimes you only get one response, and sometimes you get, you know, 10 responses. But we just sort of ended up falling away from doing that, which is a shame because we have a lot of photographs. We don't even remember what year they were taken, or sometimes we don't remember what the question is. But, you know, we have almost all of the photographs. There's a few that we've given out, but when people would come over and take pictures, we'd say, okay, even though it's your camera and your film, if you get a picture in the house, it belongs to the house. And that was always the rule. And for the most part, we've gotten all of them, which is pretty cool. So.
Right.
For sure.
And I'm looking at
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. My parents actually bought one of the blown-up Polaroid photos of Peter James having, you know, like in a spirit essence come out of him. So they have that hanging in their bedroom.
Looking at it right now.
That's pretty cool. Well, it's interesting because we have a new book coming out, which is, it's about, I think it's 30 photographs, I think, or I don't remember exactly how many it is because they're still working on it, but it's like 12 by 12 blow-ups of the pictures and the back of the picture. So you can see, you know, when we wrote on it and when we didn't. But when you blow them up large like that, as you know, by what you're looking at right now, you can see all kinds of incredible detail. So, you know, we thought that would be really interesting. And we have someone, which I can't announce who it is yet because it hasn't been completed, but there's someone kind of famous who's doing the intro to the book, and that's exciting. But
wait to see more about your book. And, yeah, it's really interesting, too, you know, how much you can see in the pictures when they're blown up. I remember being a young child at it was convention in L.A. I don't remember the specific one. When my parents bought that photo, and Bill Murphy had also purchased one of the blown-up Polaroid photos, and you guys were discussing light, you know, just the spirit, and I had said, well, maybe it's a girl, you know, I have a teacher named Miss Wright, and it seemed that the spirit in the photo with your St. Bernard actually kind of had a feminine shape to it.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I remember that. That's one of the photos. A number of photos have disappeared. I believe that's one of the ones that has disappeared. So we no longer have the actual photo, which is a shame because that would have been a really good one to blow up with the book, you know. And we don't know what happened to them. You know, sometimes you suspect foul play, but then I don't know. It's hard to believe we lost them. You know what I mean? So, but
whoever knows in a haunted house.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So.
So with this, you know, experience in your home, was this actually your first paranormal experience, or did you have experiences prior to living there?
Well, I did. When I was back in Maryland, I lived in a house on Good Hope Road was the name of the road, and. I was there with my now ex-wife, and we lived with, and it was a group home. What I did was, group home's perhaps not the right word. What I did was we bought a house, and then we'd rent out four of the rooms to, you know, renters, so we could, it basically helped pay the mortgage on the house. But over the years, really weird things happened. Now, there were a few people that nothing weird happened to, but a great deal of the people, something awful would happen to. And I don't know, I guess we were into denial, but the whole time, you know, it's like, well, that was weird, and that was weird, and well, how unusual that was. And we started researching the house, still not really thinking there's anything paranormal going on. And we found out that before we got the house, it was lived in there by a preacher, and he left his robes and all the stuff, and they were very flamboyant robes, huge. He must have been a very large man because they were really giant, these robes and stuff he had. But we found out the house was built sometime in the 20s or 30s, and it was originally used as a house of prostitution. And the bathrooms were in the middle with the rooms surrounding it, so I guess there's easy access to the bathrooms from any of the rooms. Anyway, there was, things would happen, like an issue like the hot and cold water would switch. And I'm not talking about just the sink, I'm talking about even the hose outside. And it would just randomly do that. Now, that could have been a plumbing problem, but we had plumbers out to look at the place so many times to figure out why. In fact, it was so weird, we actually switched the knobs that say H and C, you know, hot and cold. We switched them. So when people would go to turn something on, they go, what's this? I said, well, you don't know what you're going to get. So this is sort of a warning. You might get hot, you might get cold. You just don't know. And there was a big red spot in the ceiling in the living room. It looked like dried blood. And we painted over it. And then it came back out, you know. So then we, like, scraped it down, and it would kept coming, you know, resurfacing over a few days or weeks. So finally we just went in, and we cut out the whole section and put in new plaster, and then, you know, smoothed it and painted it. Sure enough, a couple of weeks later, this big red spot about the size of maybe a basketball kept coming through. And we're like, well, where's it coming through? Because there's everything's been replaced, and yet it's still there. let me see what else. These are just little things. I remember one time I was in the bathtub, and it's the middle of the day, and the bathtub, the rooms are sort of oddly shaped, and I was in the bathtub, and literally you're looking right at the door, and I'm, you know, listening, the house is quiet, and I look up, and the doorknob starts turning, and it turns to the right, and then it turns to the left, and then it turns to the right, and I'm thinking, so I thought, you know, one of the people was home, maybe it was Mary or Pat or somebody, and I start calling out names, and I'm like, very funny, and what's going on, and no answer, and the doorknob just keeps turning. So I start getting a little spooked, so I get up, and I'm watching it turn. I grab the knob and open the door, and of course, no one is there. And I'm thinking, well, that was weird. So then I put my hand on the outside, and when you turn the knob on the outside, the inside knob doesn't turn. So that means it was being turned from the inside while I was watching it. Ooh. So
like, wow.
I remember a lot of people would, like, sort of go crazy. Like, one woman, like, sort of lost her mind and jumped off the roof. And I remember this one guy, it was right after Mount St. Helens exploded, and he brought me this giant blow-up picture. It was absolutely beautiful, of Mount St. Helens. But he was acting kind of odd and everything, and apparently he was having problems with his wife, and she didn't live there. I guess they were getting a separation or something. I'm not really clear. And then he comes and he knocks on our door, and he has his arms folded, and he's sort of sad, and then he reaches his arms out, and he had slit both of his wrists. I'm like,
Oh wow.
This is the kind of thing that would go on like on a monthly basis. I know we had a lot of cats, and back then it wasn't the spayed and neuter thing that hadn't quite started yet, at least not in Maryland. And inside a locked room, where, like, when we'd leave, we'd put the kittens in one of the cats, you know, the mom cat, in the room. And when we came back, they were dead, and they were cut in half, like across through the face all the way down, like somebody had cut them with a butcher knife or something, and there was no blood. We're like, what?
This is the same house that you found the priest robes?
Yes, this is all this happened in this house. And then as people started losing their minds, and my sister moved in with her two kids, and I remember going up to the bedroom one day, and it looked like that scene in Poltergeist. All these things were flying around like there's a little tornado in the middle of the room. And it's like, what? I mean, it was so surreal. So at some point when it got really crazy, Mary and I looked at each other and went, oh, my God, it's the house. All this time, we're thinking, and we don't know for sure. I mean, it could just be craziness. But it felt like something in the house was compelling all these people to do this, and the spots in the ceiling and the water switching and just, you know, and there's dozens of other examples. Those are ones that just come to mind right off the bat. The house also caught fire one time from one of the kids that lived there leaving a candle burning. And, of course, great warnings went out. And then on New Year's Day, which is 1981, I think, the house caught on fire, the house was on fire. So, and I had a film, Mary and I were working on a film called The Passing, and we locked ourselves in the basement and were handing it out through the basement window because I'd spent years working on that film and I wasn't going to let any house fire burn it up. But there was snow and ice everywhere. We'd had a really bad storm the night before. And while the fire trucks and everything were coming in, we're handing this thing out. And then we finally got it out. And I remember standing there looking at the house, and the windows are exploding outward, trying to get oxygen to keep going. And, of course, the whole top of the house is on fire, and the firemen come. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I thought, this is really evil. This isn't just a fire. There's something evil. This house wants to go to hell. You know what I mean? And, of course, you know, I don't know for sure. All I know is that there were a lot of strange experiences, and we've been asked to do a book on it. I don't know if we ever will, but I had written down some stuff years ago just because I'm a writer, and I write stuff down, and as stuff would happen, I'd jot a little note. But I don't know if, like, I think the people living there now are, I assume they're fine. I don't know. I've never gone back. But anyway, I think I was there for 4.5 years. And it was one of the things where when you left, you were really, there's just so many things that happen all the time. Anyway, so I have had, prior experiences that may be paranormal related, you know, to answer that question.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing that you had those experiences. Were you kind of scared going into another haunted house when you realized it, thinking you might have those experiences, or was the feeling of the house just different in general?
Well, the thing is, when I felt like when I moved in here that I understood what haunted houses could do, and so I almost felt an affinity, like, oh, another haunted house. But I didn't feel an evil presence. I just felt like something's going on here, too. And I don't know if you guys remember, but Peter James said that there were that we're like ghost central or whatever, and that there are ghosts coming through here all the time. And he showed me the pattern, which a lot of psychics have pointed out, the exact same pattern, where they enter, where they go across, and where they leave. But he said there's 7 full-time ghosts, and one of them is named Wright, who talks to us on Polaroids. And he seems to be the only one to actually communicate with, you know, words and sometimes, you know, sentences and paragraphs and stuff on the Polaroids. Of course, we haven't had any communication like that in, since they stopped Polaroid. I think the last one was in, I believe it was 2013, which we, you know, you and I had talked about before. But yeah, it was uh-huh. weird, but I felt like I understood the temperament of the house and the feeling of the house. But I didn't feel that, I mean, in the beginning there were things that happened that were scary, but ultimately when you look back at them, they weren't really scary. Like for example, which has happened to quite a few people, and it still goes on to this day, you might be sitting there, and all of a sudden something like presses, it's like a hand on your thigh, like it's squeezing it.
Uh-huh.
Like you would do if you're sitting next to somebody and you can't really, like if you're, you want to tell them it's okay or whatever, and you can't really mm-hmm. talk for some reason, like if you're in a movie theater or something and somebody's upset and you just put your hand on their thigh and squeeze it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Now, I'm just curious because, you know, so many people know about the Ghostwriter case, but I hadn't known about your previous haunted house until then. Did you ever talk to Peter about your experiences in the house? And if so, what were his thoughts on it?
Well, Peter was, you know, he was a great friend of ours, and he came over all the time. And he would just come over and hang out, and then ultimately every single time he was here, there was communication, like every single time. Sometimes it would be an event where we'd invite mm-hmm. over, you know, 15 people and everybody bring cameras. And then Peter would almost be like a conductor conducting a communication. You know, how he would do that thing, I have love and light for you. And I'm sure
yeah.
you remember him doing that. Probably at the Queen Mary, like, you know, when you were there.
We're here with love and light for you.
What was
kinda
that?
Like that. that was Peter.
Kind of very
like
loud
that.
Audio.
Talk to me.
Yes, Peter. Oh, we miss him so much. But he told me that, like, I never thought about things like this before other than I related to them, but he told me that I had abilities to communicate and things that some people, I think he thinks everybody has it, but some people have it more accessible to them. And he taught me all kinds yeah. of stuff, so I know what to look for. I know how to relax and allow things to happen. Because, you know, as you guys, I'm sure, are aware of, when something happens, most people freak out or shut down or deny it or whatever. And then the communication's lost. But when somebody relaxes and attempts to communicate back, oftentimes you can, you know, sense the thing that's going on and have some type of communication with it. But Peter taught me a bunch of stuff. I wish I was one-tenth as good as Peter, but I have to say in knowing
yeah.
him, you know, I got much, much, much better at learning how to communicate with what's in the house and actually what's in other people's houses. I mean, sometimes you'll walk into a house and most times there's nothing, but every so often you'll go, oh, my goodness, there's something really strong here. And then you'll kind of try to slyly ask the people that live there if they've, you know, ever had any, because you don't want to spook people. But
yeah.
a lot of people, as you know, right? And a lot of people won't, some people won't admit to it, or other people say, oh, let me tell you what's going on, but they'll like,
mm-hmm.
take you aside, you know, so nobody knows that they are having a paranormal experience, because some people think you're crazy, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah,
it's definitely a delicate balance, you know, as someone who lives in a haunted house, I mean, the ghost is focused on women, and I was the first one to notice it in the house, and I was like, hey, our house is haunted, and we had lived there for years, and my mom never wanted to tell me I was wrong. She was just like, okay, yeah, and my dad, he was like, no, you're just making that up. Like, I wrote a book for a psychic. You're just imagining it. I'm like, oh, that's very open-minded for someone who wrote a book for a psychic. And,
seriously.
I know. Right? But so my mom, she never wanted to tell me I was wrong. She didn't know what to think. And we'd been in the paranormal for about a year at that time. So then she heard knocking on the closet door, and my parents were like, oh, hey, our house is haunted. But talking to all of my mom's female friends, they had said, yeah, your house kind of creeps me out. I feel very unnerved being in here, and I kind of feel like I'm being watched. Now, of course, they're not going to tell you that before they realize your house is haunted, because they don't want to be like, hey, your house kind of freaks me out. So
right.
It's definitely a delicate balance of being like, hey, yeah, I'm really creeped out, but how do I tell you your house really just creeps me out?
Right, right. Were there any extraordinary experiences that happened, or was it just a sense of presence
or
something?
Oh, yeah. I felt him watching me every day, but prior to us realizing the house is haunted, my mom actually had a piece of metal thrown at her back from 6 feet away. My dad saw it hit her square in the back. Now, this is before we realized the house was haunted, so my parents thought it was ears, but my grandfather was just like, hey, you convinced grandma to go dance with, like, another guy. Like, don't do that. But then realizing, like, hey, our house is haunted, that was not my grandfather. This is definitely something trying to get their attention.
Yes.
And then my dad's an 80s metal drummer, so, you know, that's extraordinarily loud. And my uncle was over, my parents' friend, my parents, and maybe my cousin, and they heard a loud bang on the side of our house. And there is no way that could have happened. Not to mention the fact that my cousin actually was trying to, she was staying over one night, and she was sleeping in the same bed as me. I was 9. And she saw a man standing over us watching us sleep. And she was super freaked out, so she had grabbed me. I was asleep, so I didn't see it. But she was really freaked out, and she'll never forget that experience. And as soon as she blinked, he was gone.
Yeah. Yeah, my son Ionis used to see people all the time when he was younger. He's 19 now, but when he was younger, he would just look and he'd say, why is the family staring at me? And I said, well, tell me who you see. And he's like, well, there's a mom and a dad, and there's like two kids, and they're just standing there. I said, are they, because I wouldn't see at all what he's seeing, but he would pick it up, and then we would try to get him to, like, communicate with them. I told Peter about it, and he said, said, whatever you do, don't, like, you know, freak him out or anything. He's just seeing things but not understanding why nobody else sees them. So we were very supportive of it. But he doesn't – that doesn't happen to him anymore. But I tell you you know, we never exposed him to the photographs. He's in a couple of them when he was sleeping, but we were very careful. He never saw them. He was 16 years old before he even found out about the Ghost Rider case. We never told him because we didn't want to imprint it on him. You know what I mean? Like, this is, you have to believe all these things. This is what's happening. But I think I've shared this with you before, but when he was about I'm going to say a year or a year and a half old, when he said he'd never spoken, you know, he makes baby sounds and all that, and he was standing in the living room. Remember this? And he pointed into the vortex in the hallway, and his very first word, he said, ghost. And I remember my jaw dropped open. I mean, how did he even hear that word? And why would he say it? And why would he point to the hallway? And I just said, sort of half breathless, I went, what? And he goes, ghost. So he saw what he interpreted as a ghost before he even knew what ghosts were. Or, I mean, how was that his first and second word ever? You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
It was kind of extraordinary.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I mean, I don't remember this, but before I could talk or anything, my mom said I would stand with my back against the door into the garage, just frozen, and I wouldn't move. And, like, you can ask my grandma. She knew about that. My dad knows about it. And they just didn't know what was going on because I couldn't talk. And my mom would call me. I wouldn't move. She would actually have to come and, like, grab my hand for me to move from that spot. And apparently that happened, like, kind of frequently.
Wow.
And I don't remember it at all. And, I mean, also when I was a child, I loved Charlie's Angels. I was obsessed with Drew Barrymore in the movie. So my dad got me an autographed picture of Drew Barrymore. So that's giving me, like, super excited. They put it up in my bedroom, and I'm like, please take it down. She's staring at me. I can't. You need to remove the photo. And my parents are like, why do you hate Drew Barrymore? And it's like, I don't hate Drew Barrymore, but I think I was always being watched by that ghost, but associating it with the photo.
Oh,
yeah, it was right by that closet.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, I don't know. It's extraordinary, all these things that go on. But, you know, Peter James used to always say there is no real paranormal. It's just normal things that we don't quite understand yet. And I think that there's something in that, you know. But you always had a connection with Peter, too, as I remember. And he, didn't he say you looked like the girl in that haunted the Queen Mary?
Yeah, Jackie. Yeah, it was really interesting, you know, just starting at such a young age and having those experiences. And, you know, even though your son didn't know about the Ghost Rider case until a few years ago, I'm sure it's kind of similar for him, too, because these memories stick with you whether you remember them fully or not.
Yes. You know what he does now? He, whenever he's, like, down or something, he goes into one of the many boxes and he just sort of reaches in and he grabs a Polaroid and pulls it out. And he goes, you know, every time it has some kind of message for me of what I'm thinking about, what I'm worried about, or how I should conduct myself in certain situations. And it's been very, very helpful to him. And he keeps saying, we should do a book of just the pictures and make it like a Bible so people can, you know, see how to help their lives and stuff. I said, well, we're not doing a Bible, okay? He goes, no, I really think we should do a Bible. Maybe we should start a church. I said, we're not starting a church. But it's just funny that, you know, the teenage mind.
Yeah, I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but I want to thank you so much for calling in today, John. It's been great hearing more about your story, and it's always amazing having you on. So definitely everyone make sure to check out John Hucker. He's a great person, as you guys could hear today. And that's so fascinating hearing about your experiences prior to even Ghost Rider.
Well, it was great talking to you guys, too, and thanks for letting me on. I'm sure we'll be on again sometime soon. We'll have another, because when that new book comes out, I'll tell you about it and send you a copy, and you can see what you think, see if you want to talk about it again. So.
Absolutely. Well, you're always welcome back on, and we'd love to have you sometime soon in the future as well.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Definitely,
you guys,
John.
Take care. Absolutely.
Thanks, John.
You too, John.
Bye.
All right. Talk to you
later. Thanks, John. All right. And John Hucker, so everybody knows, it's darkroom.com, but it's spelled DRKRM.com. That's DRKRM.com. Again, short for darkroom, for the gallery of all the Polaroid images, and also on Twitter, at John Hucker. That's Huckert. So at John Hucker. And again, the famed sightings, unexplained mysteries, Fox series that was on in the 90s, a big multi-episode a debut of that show at the time had the Polaroid images that they would ask questions, take Polaroids, and the answers would be on the Polaroids and smoky images and things of that type. And John Hucker is one of the homeowners on that Glendale house with John Mikowski, too. The book is The Polaroid Ghost by Joe Augustin. But Sophia, fantastic show. It was an impromptu. We had Kristen Lumen lined up, and yeah, again, she might probably been pulled away with a client. I know Saturdays were real heavy for her, but fantastic show today, Sophia.
Absolutely. I hope Kristen's okay and nothing's wrong, but I want to thank John so much for calling in today. It's great talking to him as always, and I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, and for Rick, Rick's in the chat room, and he was a little confused by everything, too. So I want to make sure I get everybody's plugs back in there again, even John, too, as well. For Kristen Luman, visit KristenLuman.com. That's KristenLuman.com. Twitter, at Kristen_Luman. Instagram, at KristenLuman1. We'll get her on the show one of these days again, rejoin the show. And also the DarkZone.tv for John Hucker, DarkRoom.com. That's DRKRM.com. That's DRKRM.com at John Huckert, too, as well on Twitter. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. And Peter James, did you have anything you wanted to say again to John?
We're here with love and light for you.
And Peter James is here with love and light for John as well. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We'll be back next week. See you then.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.